Can you believe it's time for the message already? Not a good day not a good day to be too late, but we will catch everybody up. If you haven't figured it out, it is a special day here at Forsyth. If you're just visiting with us for the first time, you picked a great day because you're going to get a great glimpse of what God is doing around here. We've been looking forward to this ministry fair for a long time. So we'll be together here for another 30 minutes or so, but then you'll have the rest of the time, really from 11:45 till 12:45, a good hour there as you're able to visit with our ministry fair, which we'll talk more about, to connect with a ministry opportunity, encourage some of our ministry leaders, just to have some extra fellowship together. Special too, because we encouraged you, and I know not everyone got the memo probably, but I encourage you to wear your Forsyth staff shirt. We gave one of these to everyone in our church back on Jubilee Sunday, back in October when we celebrated our mortgage payoff. And that's because we really believe everyone is part of the ministry team here at Forsyth. And so if you missed that memo, no worries. Someone asked me yesterday, I guess, wait, do I have to wear my blue Forsyth shirt? Am I going to be allowed to come if I don't? And I said, no, of course. You can either wear that shirt or a Buffalo Bills shirt would also be fully acceptable today. So that too, welcome if that's you as well. And notice, even though I joke about that, I'm not wearing a Bills shirt. I'm wearing my Forsyth shirt because this is the greatest team that I'm a part of, God's church, right? And so I know that. And also, boy, other teams have broken my heart over the years, but never God's church in that kind of a way, right? So we're glad to be on this team together. I do have one announcement for you this morning, and it's related to Forsyth Christian School. We shared with you back in December that the school, our school ministry, had become victim of a major bank fraud. We shared with you at that time that our church funds were safe, and they still are. There's no personal information that was taken or discovered in that. But that through what seemed to be a sophisticated external attack involving unauthorized wire transfers, our school ministry had been robbed of $1.3 million. And we've been praying, right? And there's been a response team that formed, and all kinds of input from you as we announced this and gained many good ideas and wisdom from people. And I have the honor of announcing today that God has restored the full amount of funds lost. Oh, we praise the Lord. As our principal, Mr. Lawrence, wrote, all funds impacted by the recent cybersecurity incident have been fully restored to Forsyth Christian School, meaning they're already in our bank account. The bank has completed its review and confirmed full coverage and crediting of the school's loss. So not that you needed another reason to praise the Lord this morning, but now you have 1.3 million more reasons. And that's not just a dollar thing. That's lives we believe will be all the more able to impact for God's purpose through the proper use of these funds. And so we need to celebrate a little bit more. So would you stand with me and let's just give God praise. Could you read from Psalm 126? Let's read this out loud together. It's so appropriate for how God restores his people. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Let me say that second to last line again, and you the last. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. All right, now I've been wanting to do something. We're going to sing a song briefly, 10,000 Reasons, but we've changed the lyrics just a little bit. So could we try this, Pastor Lonnie?
Let's do it.
You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 1.3 million reasons and forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name.
Now, one more time, but this time with just all of the strength. Take the strength of your prayers for this and match it with the strength of your praise, and be encouraged that God answers the prayer of his people. One more time.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name.
Be honest, I knew there'd be a day when we'd be praising the Lord for something he did. I did not expect it to be so soon like this. So isn't that amazing? God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. And you may be seated, but let's continue to praise the Lord. As we continue this morning, we're going to start in Matthew 9, but you can turn to Ephesians 2 because our key verse will be there. But I'm going to start reading from Matthew chapter 9. Would you read this out loud with me? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in his harvest field." Familiar verses, but I've been moved by these in recent weeks, because here's a key time in Jesus' ministry. He looks out at the crowds, and he sees people who are harassed and people who are helpless, and he's burdened for them. And perhaps as you look around your world, perhaps you've been one who's been helpless and harassed. Perhaps you look around your world and you're burdened for people in this world who, apart from Christ, are helpless and harassed and in great need. I want to think about what we learn about Jesus here. Number one, Jesus is the difference the world needs. And notice it doesn't say they were harassed and helpless like poor people without money, or like ignorant people without education, right? Or like lawless people without laws and good government, right? What does it say? They were like sheep without a shepherd. What was their greatest need? A shepherd. A good shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd and the good savior. Jesus is the difference the world needs, my friends. A lot of people want to make a difference in the world. Jesus is the difference that the world needs. And the incredible thing to me is God longs to make the difference of Jesus in this world by using people. People like you and people like me. Jesus works through people. I mean, you might be familiar with these verses, but think about how the disciples might have first heard this. Look at all this need. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And if you were one of the disciples, you'd be thinking like, yeah, we know. That's why we've been praying for Messiah to come. So what are you going to do about it, Jesus? We know. We've been harassed. We've been helpless. What are you going to do about it? And what does he say he's going to do about it? He says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. He says, and my plan is to enable you and others you pray for to do the work and to make the difference. You understand, God's plan and his plan A is to work through his church now to make the difference. This is what I see in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, you might be really familiar with Ephesians chapter 2, maybe not, but it's that chapter that starts out, we were dead in our transgressions, but God loved us so much, and he made us alive in Christ, and we might be able to, some of us say verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And how many of you love that God has saved you by grace, not based on what you've done, but based on what he did on the cross, and your faith in his grace there? How many of you love the fact that you're saved by God's grace? And we love verse 8, and we love verse 9, and we're going to now, without seeing it on the screen yet, recite verse 10. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 10 is a little more mumbled out there. Verse 10, go ahead. Let's read this out loud. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, God didn't just save us from something. God saved us to something. He saved us from our sin, praise God. He saved us from death, praise God. But he also saved us into the work that he prepared for us. He saved us from a problem, but he also saved us to be more of the solution. As we share about Jesus and serve him, the solution to that problem in the lives of others. Your first point in your notes, you say, I don't have sermon notes today, but you do. It's the last page of your packet, your sermon notes today. Your first point, God saved us for a great purpose. Can you say that with me? God saved us for a great purpose. And what I see here in Ephesians 2 is that when God wants to do something, he recreates someone in Christ and uses that person to do it. Think about what I just said. We're created in Christ. We're created new in Christ. We're born again in Christ so that God could use us for his purpose. When God sees a need in the world, he finds a person and he recreates that person in Christ to meet that need and to do that work. It's amazing to me as I've thought about that this week afresh, because God doesn't need us, does he? Does he? I mean, I think in Genesis 1, he creates the whole world with just the speaking of his word, right? So he doesn't need us to do anything. But think about it. When God then wanted to display his glory on earth, what did he do? He created Adam and Eve and told them to be fruitful and multiply. When God wanted to bless all the nations, he could have just done that directly and blessed all the nations. What did he do? He raised up Abraham and together with Sarah to be a blessing to all the peoples on earth. I imagine God didn't need anyone to help him part the Red Sea and deliver his people from Egypt, but that sea didn't part until Moses stretched out his hand. I imagine God could have slayed Goliath all by himself, but he chose to use a stone from a slingshot of a teenage boy to slay Goliath. I imagine God could have spoken directly into this world, into any one of our hearts and minds, but throughout the Old Testament, he speaks through prophets that he chooses and calls and uses. Jesus could have done every one of his miracles with no help from anybody. He could have fed 5,000 people by just creating the fish and the bread all by himself. Why did he use a little boy's lunch with a few loaves and a few fish? He didn't need it. Why did he use it? Could it be that God loves us so much that he loves to give us the thrill of being used by him and to do so in a way that somehow brings all the more glory to him because we're just the vessels he uses? He's still doing it, but he's doing it through us. I imagine God didn't need a bunch of people praying for 4C Christian School. I imagine he didn't need a response team to form and all of the ideas that came from you and all the help that went into that effort. But guess what? God used people. Does it blow you away at all? Or is it just me this morning? I mean, why, God? Because he's so good and he's so loving. And then Jesus, having trained the disciples, leaves them and equips them to equip others to do the work of ministry. And boy, in a world that's starving for purpose, I was reading 91% of people in our world have purpose anxiety. They're depressed about not making the difference they feel like they should be making. Even here in D.C., I was told when I came to D.C., D.C. is where you go if you want to make a difference. You go to New York if you want to make money. You go to D.C. if you want to make a difference. And that's part of why Clark Forsey, our founder in the 1930s, when he went on vacation to D.C., decided, I'm going to stick around here and do some ministry because I want to make a difference among the difference makers. But I've talked to people in D.C. in some pretty big difference-making roles in the last couple of years even. They've just said, oh, just feel like what I'm doing isn't mattering right now. Maybe you felt that way. My friends, God is so good that he invites us to know the purpose we're designed for by sharing and participating and doing his work. You say, well, not me. I'm not really ready. I'm not really that guy. I'm not really that girl. I want to point out the second point. God recreates us with a precise shape so that we can do his work. Again, created in Christ Jesus. Most of us are familiar with the idea, okay, Psalm 139, when we're created, when we're knit together in our mother's womb, Psalm 139 says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Even in the womb, we're fearfully and wonderfully knit together. That's very personal. It's very intimate language. And please remember, I don't care what anyone says or suggests, that every person on this planet, I don't care where you're from or who you are or what you've done or what sin you've committed, every person on the planet is created in the image of God and is fearfully and wonderfully made. But did you also know that when you came to faith in Christ, God recreated you in a very personal, masterful way? This word here, God's handiwork, sometimes translated his, sorry about that. Sometimes translated where God's masterpiece, the word in the original language is the word poema. Anybody hear an English word in that? Poema? The word poem, it's where you get our word poem. It's a special, thoughtful, intimate craft, right? A poem. It's used in the Old Testament to translate the idea of God as a potter and we're the clay and we're a special work of his. God's a personal, masterful craftsman. Again, when he sees a need in the world, he finds a person and he recreates them in a personal, masterful way to do that work. You understand? You've been part of why you came to Christ. Praise God, you're saved from sin. Praise God, you have a home in heaven. You've got some work to do that God's crafted you for. It's his tool. He's got you in his toolbox now to use for his purpose in this world. It blows me away to think that God knew that he'd need a pastor here at Forsey one day. And God found me somehow years ago. And part of why God saved me was to do this work that he planned in advance. I would have been the last kid in my neighborhood growing up, I'm telling you, that anyone would have thought would have pastored the church nearby or a church here. And yet, what did God have in mind? And see, God had that in mind for each and every one of you. When he brought you in Christ, he had in mind a work, many works, that he had prepared in advance for you to do. Aaron Krauss was an inventive kid growing up in Pennsylvania. He's one of these kids that could turn off his bedroom light from his bed because he designed a whole pulley system, to figure out how to do that. I didn't do that. Some of you engineers probably tried stuff like that. There's a lot of you around here. But he was an engineer in that kind of way. Nevertheless, he majored in psychology in college, but used that major to start a car washing business. And he designed a certain buffer pad that just worked really well on cars. And it was picked up by a larger company, 3M. They make the tape and stuff like that. And so he made good fortune as he sold that business. And then one day after that, he was doing dishes in his kitchen. And he's like, this sponge is horrible and it gets soggy when I don't need it to be and it's all hard when I need it to be soft. And he's like, frustrated. He goes in the garage, he opens up one of his boxes of old car washing buffing pads, takes it in and does some dishes. And the rest is history because that became known as the Scrub Daddy. which has now done $1.4 billion in sales and is in 257,000 retail locations in 47 countries. What did he do? He took something that he had available to him and repurposed it to meet the need and the work that needed to be done. And my friends, that is such a picture of what God has done for us. There was something God was up to, and he said, I need to get this done, but who can I take and save and recreate to do that work? You know, God, it was that thoughtful about your salvation and loves you that much. Now, what does this mean for God to recreate us in Christ? I mean, practically, what are we talking about? And that's where in your notes, I give you that SHAPE acronym, S-H-A-P-E, which is something that other churches and ministries have come up with and used for a long time. And I think it's helpful to us because it gets us thinking about how God has shaped us with five different things. S is for spiritual gifts. And we are relatively familiar with the idea, the New Testament, we see three passages where God says, every one of us is given a spiritual gift to use to serve him the moment we're saved. We'll talk about this in the few weeks to come, but for now, just know that every believer in Christ has a supernatural enabling by God given to them to do his work. That's a gift that he's given you. You want to get a sense of what that might be and how to best use it. But the H also, that's not all that God has done as he's recreated us. I believe he takes our hearts, our passions, the letter H, heart. He takes the things we're passionate about and he reshapes it, repurposes that for his glory. You see this in scripture. Some are just very passionate about music, some about teaching, some about helping the poor and the sick. And God takes those passions that people have and now he uses them for his kingdom. The A stands for abilities. God's given us many natural abilities. When we come to faith in Christ, he can repurpose those natural abilities for his purpose. And many of you have experienced this. I remember a missionary telling me once, hey, let people know in your church, whatever they're good at, they can do on the mission field too, and God will use it. We sometimes think of missionaries as just gifted speakers or evangelists, but there's all kinds of skills that are needed in the work of God's kingdom. The P is for personality. And isn't it neat that God can work through and even transform and then repurpose almost any personality? I shouldn't say almost, any personality. In the scripture, we see Paul and Barnabas. These guys are very different personality-wise. They even go separate ways at times because of that, but they're both used greatly by God for his purpose. Don't disqualify yourself from being used for God because of something you're not sure about in your personality. So surrender to Christ and then let God work through you in the way that he's designed you. And then experience is what the letter E stands for in this acronym, that God's allowed us to go through ups and downs in part to be more useful as we minister to others. 2 Corinthians 1 says, he's comforted me in all my trials so that I can comfort other in their trials as well. And so God takes us and repurposes us in all these areas. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we've encouraged you to take this thing we've been calling a SHAPE test, because it asks you some questions to get you thinking about your spiritual gifts, your heart passions, your abilities, your personality, your experience, and then gives you some feedback on how God has shaped you so that you can think about what ministry might be a good fit for you. We've said in this push, this kind of prayer of engaging more people in ministry in this year, we don't want to just fill slots with names. We want to equip people to do what God's called them to do. That's God's call on his church and the leaders of his church is to do exactly that. So I hope you... If you haven't taken the SHAPE test, I hope you will. How many have taken the SHAPE test already? I know we've had the number. I see several hands shyly going up. Thank you for that. But if you haven't, here's what you do. You go to 4c.org/serve, and that will introduce you to a few things, including a link to the SHAPE test. It'll take about 30 minutes to kind of prayerfully take. You might want to spend even more time on it. I retook it again and kind of was thinking through some things myself and kind of learning some new things that God was showing me. But then at the end of that test, it asks you to email it to a ministry leader. And here's where I want to encourage you to in that email, put serve@4c.org. Everybody say it, serve@4c.org. This is a little more detail than sometimes we get into on a Sunday morning. So serve@4c.org. All of your scan codes today that you see out in the fair will pretty much get you to that place. But then our elders are going to receive these. And part of what we're going to work at is following up with people to help connect them to the ministry that God has shaped them for. And so pray about what that could look like for you, and pray for our church as we seek to faithfully do that work. And then in the end of January, we're even going to have another rendition of a ministry workshop focused all the more on helping people, taking some more time to discover our shape and to connect in ministry. Okay, did we get all that? Two thumbs up if you're still with me. One thumb up if you're kind of ready to be done. All right, two thumbs up mostly. You guys are gracious, that's why. Third point, God's work takes all of God's people. Maybe you're still saying, I just don't know. There's so many other people that could do this so much better than me. I'm so new at this, whatever. God's work takes all of God's people. And I would suggest to you that not only our mission as a church, but hear this, our maturity as a church depends on it. My maturity as a believer in Christ depends on your faithfulness to do the work God's called you to do. Your maturity in Christ depends on mine. Am I just making this up? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Christ gave leaders to the church to do what? Equip his people for the works of service. Not to do all the ministry, but to equip all of the people to do the ministry. This is radically different than the corporate world. It's radically different than how many churches have functioned. But the church is called by God to equip all of the people for the works of service. Don't be confused by the stage, all right? The stage effect is a dangerous effect because we are all on stage doing God's work. All of us. That's why we gave staff shirts to everybody. Why though? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Mature. Attaining to the whole measure of what? How many want to sign up to know the fullness of Christ? How many want to sign up to be a mature Christian? What do we need to get there? More Bible studies? More prayer? More sermons? Well, sure, that's part of the equation. But don't miss this, my friends. It takes every part working for the body to mature in healthy ways, just like the metaphor he uses of a physical body. And then he goes on to say in verse 16, read this out loud with me. For from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Notice it takes each part. Each part of the work is mission critical and maturity critical. I was meditating on all this. I was really excited about what God was revealing again. And I walked out of my office on maybe Thursday, and there was a couple guys in our office putting new office chairs together that have come in for our conference room. Boy, meetings are going to just be so populated these days because these chairs are so nice. But anyway, they're putting these chairs together. And I was compelled to say to them, hey, guys, what you're doing right now is going to make just as much difference for the kingdom and bring just as much glory to God as what I'm going to do behind this pulpit on Sunday morning. And I believe that based on what God says. Do you believe that? That every work God has called people to are part of what he uses to bring glory to himself and to bring fruit to the ministry and maturity to believers. It's every task. It's whatever God has gifted and enabled you to do. You know, there's someone in our ministry that has been counting the offering for 45 years. And you would never know it because it doesn't happen up here, right? There's a lot of stuff, mission critical stuff, maturity critical stuff that happens around here every day that doesn't happen up here. And it's so critical and so precious to God. And I have a gift for this person today. And if you serve the Lord for 45 years, you could get a scrub daddy too. I just want to hand it. Bob Wasson, thank you so much for your ministry. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. But that's something else that God might have shaped you to help with now. But praise God for his faithful servants that have applied these verses for many years. Megan Muller is another who's served here at 4C for many years. She went home to be with the Lord this week. And she was one known for coming alongside of others, part of our Stephen ministry, which was a great ministry to listen and to encourage people. And I know that's hitting some of you guys right now, but I wanted to share it in this context because she's an example of someone who's just faithfully done what God has called her to do. And now she's with the Lord being rewarded. She's getting more than a scrub daddy in heaven, right? Eternal treasures await. And so, yes, her funeral will be this Thursday, 6:30 viewing, 7:30 funeral. We'll be getting information out on that. But what if just everyone had that kind of a sense of these examples we've given, of how God has shaped them and was faithful to do it for the Lord? I believe we'd see this world turn upside down. And I believe we'd see the church be full of Christ if each one responded to the Lord and what he's revealed about his calling in our ministry, doing the work he's prepared in advance for us to do. We get concerned about everything going on in our world, but my goodness, if the whole church engaged in making disciples and helping people know and follow Jesus, the children, the students, the young people of our world will be next in line to be out there calling the shots. It's the church's work to reach and equip young people and young families and next generations. May we be faithful. It takes everybody. So what do we do from here? Our strategic plan that we worked on last year called for us to really trust the Lord to engage more people in ministry. We call that plan All Hands In, because we believe it takes all hands. And we are asking the Lord to provide 150 new ministry workers in the next couple of years. If that sounds like a lot, so did 1.3 million, right? But we believe God's going to provide 150 new workers to serve the ministry here, not just to make a difference within these four walls, but in a way that'll impact our community and world. And so today in your ministry fair, I want you to make the most of it. And so there's a page in here that gives you some direction on how to make the most of it on page 2. At the fair, you want to visit downstairs in the fellowship hall. That's where the majority of the ministries are. But everyone should visit room 150 as well. In that room, you can get some help with your shape. If you're like, I don't know how to get in this website and do this shape thing, there's people there to help you with that or to talk with you personally about where you might fit in ministry. That's in room 150. And our deacons are in room 150. And I'd love for everyone to know who their deacon is. And that's a project we're working on, we'll be continuing to work on. But you should check in there and meet your deacon. And then downstairs for food and fellowship. You should, I've been told, try to get onto our internet now, because downstairs the service is tough, and if you want to scan a code downstairs, it'll be good to be already on to your internet. On here, there's also some top needs on page 3. I want to highlight our need for children's ministry helpers in this season, and especially people who can work with children with differing abilities, children with special needs. There's great need for some help in that area, as God is blessing us with some wonderful people that way. And then number 5 on that list is Road to Redemption. That's a spring Easter drama outreach. Pastor AJ is excited about that. We're looking to share Christ with our community in a creative drama outreach. We've done this a few other times, but we're looking for drama support and other support needed to make that ministry happen, to be part of reaching our neighborhood with the gospel. Then you have your ministry directory, which gives you a rundown of all the ministries and other efforts that are being emphasized today, and hopefully it'll be a resource to you for the future. If you don't see one on there that fits you, we're all about equipping you to do the ministry God's called you to do. And as long as that aligns with the mission of helping people know and follow Christ, We want to help you to do that ministry. Something else you'll come across today might be our ministry partner profile. That's something we want everyone to fill out. That kind of makes sure that you're aligning with our mission and our values. We don't just throw anyone in a ministry here. We don't think that's healthy. But we'll start with anyone and make sure that they're aligning with our mission and our values. And we really want to help you with that. And that's the ministry partner profile. That's the tool there. And so I want to say nothing else. I want to get you out there to worship by connecting with a ministry this morning. So stand on up. And we need all hands in the middle. So reach out, all hands in. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the joy of participating in your work. Impress us afresh with what an honor and privilege and joy that is to be part of the work that brings the difference that the world needs. Lord, would you bless my brothers and sisters, however they're feeling right now. Encourage them that you see them, you have a place for them, purpose for them, ministry for them. And we pray that you would make this time fruitful in our lives and just encourage us through it, God. We pray all this, all God's people said in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.